What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Action Ignited podcast, the podcast to help ignite your action and help you reach your goals in far more than just health and wellness. Do you feel like the scale is most important in your fitness journey? I think today we'll cover how to track success in your fitness journey and how the scale is not the most important factor to look at. As always, we are your co-hosts, Jason Hogarth and Ism Haddahat. Let's talk and speak some truth on your fitness journey. Yo, what's up, man?
Excited for this topic. I feel like I've had my own bouts with the scale throughout my whole life. So this will be a very interesting one. I think we could look at it from a lot of different angles as we get into it. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a scale lies. I'm gonna start it there. The scale lies.
Yeah, no, I think the scale lies. There's, again, a list of different things we can look at. We went ahead and pre-listed a few things, and I'm sure there's more that may come up and there's more that we may want to continue on. But I think the first one we can visit is feel. How do you feel? And when you are pursuing, you know, your wellness and fitness goals, you'll start working out more, maybe you're walking more, maybe you're lifting heavier weights. There's different things that you're doing there. And I always ask, how do you feel? Because sometimes it's easy to step on the scale and maybe not see something favorable at first. But besides that, if you weren't looking at that, how do you feel? Is there a high in emotions? Are you happy with what you see? Do you feel proud of yourself? What are those feelings that come up? And then within that, I think confidence is super great to see be formed over time. You feel more confident in how do you look and other things that we'll cover.
Yeah, I think the feel piece is huge. I think even like after a workout, especially like when you get a really good workout in, you leave and it feels like your breathing is easier almost after that because you were just working hard. Like if you were on a run, did some sprints, whatever. I always remember that after football workouts that for the rest of the day, it just felt like I was breathing easier compared to when I was working out, which just I feel like made me feel more confident, relaxed in general as I was going through and like just gave me a good feel of satisfaction, I guess, that I went through and I did that. So that's one thing I always look at is the breathing. Like, how does it feel to breathe after a workout? And what am I experiencing there? That's always been a big indicator for me post-workout.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk specifics, it's you get an endorphin release. You just feel happier, feel different. And we talk about it all the time within our conversations, and we may have said it in a few episodes. You'll never really regret a workout, whether it was a quote unquote good workout or bad workout. You don't necessarily regret them. You always feel better after. So I think the feelings are always so important to visit first when it comes into, hey, the scale has always been the thing that makes me not happy with my journey. That's the only reason why I stop and go. Well, what's the first thing you can do? I think it's focusing on how you feel. How do you feel after the workouts? How do you feel after a set number of workouts? What are the feelings that come up there?
Yeah, one thing that I want to hit on before we get too far into the alternate ways with the scale lying, I think it lies to us the most and hurts the most early on in a journey, which can be super discouraging to see. Because I remember when I was getting back into fitness, that was one of the most discouraging things to look at because right away, sometimes when I would try to like step back into that process, I would lose 4 or 5 pounds right away. And then nothing would happen for 2 or 3 weeks after that. And I would just give up before I got to the benefits of continuing and being consistent. Other times, if I started with more of a heavier lifting routine versus like walking and cardio, I would gain weight right away. And I'm like, well, this isn't working. This sucks. And I would give up. So that's one thing to keep in mind. And it's not that you're not losing weight. You're not getting, or sorry, losing fat and getting in better shape. It's your body is now inflamed because your muscles are sore and you're using them. And that took a while for me to really click. And you know, I was coming out of a world where I played college football and I didn't really focus on health for the few years after that. And when I tried to get back into it, I didn't even fully understand that because when I was younger, it was just kind of eat. And I worked out so much in sports that it never really mattered. I didn't really need to focus on it. But then when you're working an office job and stuff like that, you have to focus on it a little bit more as far as what you're putting into your body compared to what's going out. But it took me a while to start to understand those things, and working with you to even understand a lot of those things of, hey, this is normal. Like, give it some time and keep working through it. So I think that's the biggest thing that I wanted to hit on before we get into the alternatives, because that was a huge discouragement for me early on. And every time that I tried to restart getting into the fitness realm a few years back.
Well, I like that you bring that up, because that is the alternative, essentially. If you see the scale move up and down, it is a good indicator that something's working, because there's a few things. One, the more, I want to call it obvious thing, but it's not obvious for a basic trainee, just somebody who's just generally working out, is if the scale just doesn't move, our metabolism's at a standstill. And as we age, we want to be able to see that our metabolism is still going. It's like the time that it takes to burn the food, and you're going to lose calories and burn fat and burn calories in the long run. You want that to continue to move. And sometimes if we don't see the scale move up or down, we're just at a standstill. And in that case, we have to backtrack, and there's other things we'll have to do, like look at our fiber intake. Are you eating enough? Are you active enough? So the scale moving is a good thing. And then, like you've mentioned too, sometimes you are putting on muscle. So again, seeing the scale move could be a good thing, and it may require you to do a more in-depth reading with something like an in-body scan or any type of scale that's able to track muscle mass, skeletal muscle mass, and lean body mass, because you may be putting on muscle and in order to see the scale move. But as long as you're putting on muscle, it may just require you to track your calories or be more mindful with how many calories you are intaking and just burning more, because then in return, you'll still put on some lean body mass and then you'll burn fat in the long run while at rest. So I think, yeah, the scale moving is actually in our favor, but it is definitely hard to feel that. It's definitely hard to not feel that, but trust that, hey, this is okay right now, especially when it's early on.
Yeah, definitely. It's the early on and not having the understanding of, okay, there's growing pains, essentially, just to simplify it. And I think that is the biggest thing. I think, you know, if you haven't seen it, go take a look. You can probably Google it and find a picture pretty quick, but you could have a 6'2", 185 pound man that looks wildly different than another 6'2", 185 pound man, depending on what their body fat percentage is. Yeah. But the scale would both just say you're 185, but at the end of the day, one's healthier than the other. So having those additional things to look at, like the body fat percentage, knowing that the scale is moving up and down, how you feel, and some other things that we'll get into as we go along, is a very important part of the process of understanding. It's not just about one number that just doesn't have enough detail to really tell us, am I healthy or not?
Yeah, I think the next best feel thing, and just best thing in general, is clothes. So if we stop with the scale for a second, I always tell everybody, wear your favorite outfit before you start training. If you're, you know, training with a specific goal and you have a timeline, and then wear that same outfit 4 weeks from now, 8 weeks from now, 12 weeks from now, because then after in 3 months of consistent work, you're going to absolutely love how you fit in those clothes. You may fit in a pair of jeans that never fit you before. There's a number of ladies that I've been fortunate enough to train who had an outfit before pregnancy. And, you know, pregnancy does a lot to a woman's body. And they get back to training, they get back to building confidence and loving who they see in the mirror. And then they're putting on an outfit they've wore pre-pregnancy. And it's like, hey, I love this. And then for the guys, having tight sleeves, like it's almost funny, but it's a good feel. Tight shirt around the chest. Like there's a lot of things there where sometimes the scale may paint a different picture, but you don't know, hey, are you putting on lean body mass? Hey, are you burning body fat? And then most importantly, how's your clothes fitting? Are they fitting good? Hey, your waistline's going down. There's a lot of other benefits there. And I think that's definitely another one that you should keep in mind of.
Yeah. The clothes thing was big. You told me and Megan both to do it, but have a goal shirt, I think, is what you coined it as before we started. And it was, what's one thing that you used to wear that you don't anymore, because whenever you put it on, it just doesn't fit right or the way it used to or whatever. And then having that, it was an easy way to track, because I remember even when we were working together, there was a good period of time where the scale didn't move, but things started fitting better. So it was just, and we did obviously a good amount of weight training. And maybe at that point it was all weight training compared to cardio because the 5K that we did I did was over. So yeah, that was like a very cool learning experience for me when I was going through that process with you of, this is why I picked the goal shirt. And it kind of goes back to the feel and the confidence of, you feel really good when you get that fit the way you wanted it to be again as well.
Oh, it's the best. And then you brought up running, even though at the time that wasn't really part of the goal. I know we kind of tied it in individually, but that's another thing, performance. Sometimes we don't have to set a goal around the scale. It may be performance. Hey, I want to do 5 pushups. Hey, I want to do my first pull up. Hey, I want to be able to run a mile. Hey, I want to be able to squat pain free. Hey, I want to be able to walk up and down the stairs pain free. So there's all these different things that you can look at also, where when you start doing those things, it's absolutely, no pun intended, going to outweigh the scale.
That was good.
I don't know how that one just,
that was good.
That just came to me. Oh, that felt nice.
Yeah, like that. The performance, 100%. Whatever it is, I mean, it could be that you want to be more competitive when you play in your co-ed basketball league that yep. you do, or softball, or whatever league, right? Anything like that. You want to shorten your mile times, whatever it is. But yeah, the performance goals is something I always go back to, because I feel like that was what we were chasing, whatever. In college, of, you know, we had our conditioning tests. We had to hit those numbers each year going into the season. So a lot of our training and work was around hitting those numbers. And even we had our leaderboards for different lifts, as well as like agility exercises, the combine type exercises like broad jump and stuff. So it's, you always want to compete and be on one of those at least. So that's something I'll always go back to, is the performance side. Just as like, I think it works as a general motivator too, not just a way to measure, but something to motivate you to keep pushing yourself one step further too.
Yeah. I think even with performance, you know, our next point is heart rate change. With performance, you are going to see some physical change, obviously there. You're going to feel better. But heart rate changes, and even if you are just doing traditional strength training, obviously there are some standards that you'd like to get to with conditioning and general cardio, but over time your heart health is just going to change. And within that, when you can see your resting heart rate drop down, that comes with stress management, which you'll obviously get in return for all the endorphin release and how you change your lifestyle and things of that nature. But if you can see that and track that over time, it'll help, and it'll be so much better just looking at a number on the scale move. Again, it's me bringing up that point, it almost contradicts the idea of, hey, don't focus in on a number. But if you could see your heart rate, resting heart rate, go down over time, it is a good feel. It means our heart's getting stronger. It means you can handle more stress. So that's definitely something to look at too.
Yeah, I think it contradicts a little bit, but the clarification I would put on is like, focus on the right numbers too, because heart health is going to indicate, you know, your overall body's health versus, you know, the weight. I threw the example out there before of how you could have two people that are 185 and look different. Yeah. Heart health, if you're in good heart health, it's going to help you for the longevity of your life, setting yourself up to avoid all of those different risks that come with bad cardiovascular health as well. So that's just one thing that, even though I think there's not enough emphasis put on, you know, your resting heart rate being able to go down, and that maybe there should be more focus there from people, because that's something that truly actually matters and impacts their overall health versus the number on the scale. But unless you have something to track, it's a little bit harder to get that too.
Yeah, no, that's true. And another thing to think about is even just general appetite. You know, we've talked about how movement can help you, as it could be a form of medicine. And then in this case, we're trying to think of things that'll be more important to measure than just the scale. But you can see how your appetite changes over time. And it's not emphasized enough that, you know, whatever the goal is specifically, even if it's weight loss, like, we need to eat some more food. And I think over time, if you're burning around the right amount of calories, you are going to find yourself have some more hunger during the day. And that's almost hard to think about, because there's a number of people out there that, again, we've been able to work with, we've heard stories about, it's happened to us, where we generally are the people who can't really, hey, I'm not hungry all the time, but you want me to eat more. Well, when you start being more active, your body's going to look for something to help it replenish and recover itself. So your appetite changes over time. That's another thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, if you guys aren't fortunate enough to be following us on Instagram, one, you should go do it. But he posted the difference. Well, it was the difference between your and Monica's breakfast, right?
Yep.
That, I don't understand. Are you bulking right now? Or is that just what you need to maintain? Because he had two plates of food in front of him, like pretty well filled up, just to maintain his current area of, I guess, weight management and all that.
I mean, believe it or not, my recent check-in, I went down a little bit of muscle and I put on a little bit of body fat percentage. And it's just purely based off of doing a lot more activity and not eating enough. Because I stepped away from tracking. So, you know, when you're doing this for a set period of time and you're doing it for over a year of tracking and a real structured holistic approach, sometimes you want to take some structure away, because then you start to understand, hey, this is how my body feels when I do this. So I got to a point with nutrition where I felt that, hey, I don't have to track anymore, because I generally have an idea what this feels like. Well, the last few weeks, things have changed, and I haven't really tracked it ever before doing things this way. So I say all that to say, yes, with the but my portions, they definitely are up, and that's more of me just maintaining.
Yeah, and so that's one thing I want to ask you about, because it's a little off topic, but it could be on topic. You know, if people do go through that long sustained period of time of tracking, what is this? Like, what is that feeling you're looking for? So when you're saying you feel this, are you saying I can feel when I'm low on carbs? I can feel, explain on that a little bit, just so people kind of know if they're starting to get to that point where they truly understand their body.
Well, so it depends on the individual, which I hate to say sometimes, but that's definitely the truth. Specifically speaking, when I tracked in the past, historically, and I've seen that, hey, I'm hitting my protein, and then I had different days where I'm higher in carbs, higher in fat. When you do that consistently, you get to find out, okay, this is what it feels like when I'm at my protein. When I'm on higher carbs and I'm doing less cardio, I feel more tired. Part of it could be a little bit of gluten sensitivity, but part of it could just be heavier carbs and I'm not as active. I don't have time to burn it. So that's something that I've found and felt. Having higher fats usually works for me when I'm less of cardio mode, more of strength training, and not super high energy expenditure during the day. So it really does depend on the person, but sometimes those are some common things you may feel. Meet your calories and protein first, because then from there you can learn, hey, this is what it feels like when I'm on high carbs. This is what it feels like when I'm high fat. Some people feel super, what's the word I want to use? I want to just say tired almost when you're on high carbs. And some people feel like that when they're on high fat. So those are some things. And then even with general activity, when I'm running and lifting a certain number of days, when it's something that my body's not used to, I'll be sore for 2+ days after the fact. And then from there, I'll know, hey, I pushed it too much. And that means if I wasn't like tracking sleep or recovery, I could just feel. So like I say all that, long story short, is when you track it consistently over time, you just know how your body feels with that. When you take the tracking away, you kind of live off of the muscle memory of, hey, this is how it felt. Does that make sense for you at least? Because if I can make sense of that now, hopefully that's somebody who can hear it can make some sense out of it.
So that makes perfect sense. I think the main thing to take away is you have to track, but you have to track with a purpose.
Yeah.
So like, think about how you feel on those time periods or days that you're in or you have a higher fat percentage versus carb percentage. Really, I'm always the believer protein's pretty stagnant.
Yeah.
Just like the 1 gram per pound of body weight.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is, you know, I've had people again plan or, you know, act with intent, track with intent. I've had people in the past who just tracked to say, hey, am I eating enough? Whatever, whatever. Then we looked at the diary of food and it's like, hey, you're meeting your numbers, but how do you feel right now? Okay, this is how I feel. So then from there, we don't really subtract. We just substitute. Okay, hey, you had this for your protein. Can you substitute it for this? Then we did that for a set period of time. It's the same exact numbers, but then it was like, hey, I feel better these last few weeks. What? And so then I'd ask, what'd you do different? Well, I don't know. I'm doing this activity. I'm doing this. I'm like, hey, let's look at our diary of food. We look at a diary of food. It's the same exact calories, but the makeup of how we're meeting those calories were a lot better in quality. They felt better there. So that's another thing too.
Yeah, I think that's huge. Because when we talk about, you know, sustainably doing things, no one's going to want to track for the rest of their life. So it's how can you get to the point where when you're not tracking, you understand your body enough to know what you need. And you're not just falling back down into like past bad habits as well.
Yeah, I'll always harp that tracking doesn't have to be a forever thing.
Love that. Absolutely love that. So let's see. On our list here, I think we only have two more. One being pain-free. Want to take that one first?
Yeah, pain-free, we definitely want to dive into in a further episode. Long story short, when you are moving consistently and you don't think about the scale, you'll start to notice, hey, my lower back feels healthier. Hey, my knees feel better. Hey, my shoulders feel better. And a lot of that specifically comes from the type of movements that you do. Are you doing every movement pattern in the gym? Are you doing the squatting, the lunging, the hinging, the pushing and pulling? And it doesn't have to be things with a barbell. It just means the movement pattern itself. Quick example, a squat is essentially sitting down. So when you're squatting, pick the movement that works for you. And then over time, you'll start to see that, hey, I'm feeling better. These are everyday movements I'm doing. To be pain-free is one of the best things you could do. It's free, minus the if you have to pay for a gym membership. But it's the movement. It's anything you could do there to make your body feel pain-free is so much more valuable than seeing the scale move, because in return, the scale will move when you're doing that consistently.
Here I am. I'm going to plug your Instagram again. But if you haven't seen the video of is putting this stuff in action on a daily basis, I think you were either moving or you were bringing some furniture upstairs to your apartment. But he's got it all from your, what was it? It was the, I can't even remember. Yeah, it was like every movement pattern moved into moving a box up the steps and into the apartment. And showing you how it actually applies to your daily life, as opposed to just a movement in the gym that might feel tedious to you if you don't like that particular lift.
Yeah, you guys could definitely check it out. But in long story short, I got an IKEA closet, a walk-up, you know, build it your own closet, and literally had to do everything. I had to carry it, had to push it, had to pull it up the stairs. Every single movement pattern, hinge at my hips, lunge to get it up each step. So that's what Jason's referring to.
Yep. No injuries because he's been working them all for years.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Perfect. I think the last one we have here is mood. So just gotcha. In general, as you're going through this process, experiencing better feelings, maybe not feeling so negative, starting to feel, I mean, it goes back to that feel confidence almost of, you just feel happier. You feel in a better mood. You almost feel accomplished. That's why I like working out in the morning more than at night, because I feel like it just gets the day off on a perfect note, because you accomplish something that no matter what kind of workout you're doing, it's hard. Yep. You're pushing your body to a point where it is hard. Now, we don't want to overexert, but enough to keep getting those performance gains or those muscle gains or the cardiovascular gains. So, when I think of it from that perspective, it gives you that sense of accomplishment to then carry into your work day or your time with your kids. And you're just in a better mood going into it. You're in a better headspace. You've already talked about all the endorphin release and stuff like that from a benefits perspective too. But I think this is one of the bigger things of just when I'm working out and doing it consistently, feel 10 times better than, you know, in the past when I wasn't. You just fall into like ruts, not just on the physical fitness side, but mentally too, because you don't have something to pull you out and give you that feeling on a consistent basis, basically.
Yeah. And again, we just want to shine a light on the scale isn't the most important thing to keep an eye on. Yes, it could be part of, you know, how you track where you're going, but it doesn't mean that you're not successful if that's not doing what you want it to do. There's a whole bunch of different factors. We listed a few of them. We hope that you find some value from them. And as always, just shoot us any questions that you have within some struggle you may have, even within the benefits that we've mentioned, other than just tracking the scale.
Yeah. So with that, thank you all for joining us today on Action Ignited. As you're scaling your fitness journey, don't forget to incorporate some of the things we talked about today. Maybe not everything is going to be the way that you want to track. So find the things that truly motivate you and keep you consistent and focus in on those. Double down on those, how you feel. Are clothes fitting better? Are your performance goals hitting? Is your heart rate going down? Whatever it is for you, figure out what it is. Figure out what you want to track outside of just the scale and keep pushing forward. But with that, if you're new to the podcast, feel free to subscribe, share it with a friend, and leave us a review if you got some value out of today's episode. As is mentioned, you can reach out to us anytime with any questions or your own stories that you would like to share on the topics that we cover. You can reach out to us on social media at Action Ignited or drop us an email at the email in the description. And with that, until next time, keep tracking those metrics that we've kind of shared with you today and stay ignited.